from bondage through the power of the Word of God. Join Pastor Jackson and friends as we rightly divide the Word of Truth. You can find My Gospel Soul on Facebook, Twitter, but you can also find me, Denise Jackson, on Facebook and Twitter as well. Now, to keep up with us, also on the Denise Jackson Ministry website. That's at www.denisejacksonministry.yolasite.com. And remember, with God, all things are possible.
All right. Thank you all for tuning in on today, on this wonderful Monday. Amen. It's myself, as well as Prophetess Mary.
Good evening.
And you all, today it's going to be a little bit different than the 219 The Talk. Today we're going to get very serious, and we're going to dive into the Word of God. Amen. This is going to be a show where we really teach people about the Word of God and really uplift God and really show exactly what true ministry is. I'm very excited about doing the show. Been praying for a long time, and I think this is going to be a great show. We're going to talk about some awesome things. Amen. I feel like the power of God is going to really move through the airwaves, and I feel like people are going to really be able to hear and understand exactly what God is doing in this season. I feel like this is going to be a wonderful season of breakthrough, a season of healing, a season of peace, a season of change. 2020 is going to be a year where people can see clearly what God is doing. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead right now, and I'm going to go ahead and play this song. But as I get to play this song, I want you all to just meditate for a minute. The song I'm about to play is My Soul Says Yes. And as we play this song, I really want you to meditate and see, is your soul saying yes? Says yes. Amen. Sometimes that's all we got to do is just say yes. And sometimes that's really all God needs from us is just a yes. You know, sometimes we get so busy and caught up in trying to do things ourselves and wonder what it is that we got to do, not realizing that all we got to do is just surrender ourselves unto Him and just say yes. There's a power in that word yes. It's power when you just submit yourself unto the will of God, when you just submit yourself. That's everything that God is saying, and you can say, you know what? Yes, Lord. You know, it don't matter what's going on in your life. It don't matter everything else. You can just say, yes, Lord.
Amen.
But that's not what we're going to talk about today. Amen. We're going to go in today, and Mary and I are going to really dive in on relationship, the godly relationship.
Amen.
It's Valentine's Day week. Amen. And one thing about love, and one thing that's better than love, is that godly love. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible way of love. Amen. I say all the time, I want the Bible marriage because those are the ones that last. Amen.
Amen.
People in the world get married all the time, and then you be in a divorce court before you know it.
Uh-huh.
But when you have a Bible marriage, you know, when you talk to somebody who has a Bible marriage, talk to them when they say they've been together for 25 or 30 years. You ask them about divorce. They don't even know what divorce is. Who? Divorce? What's that? They leave each other and go where? They don't know about leaving each other. You know what I'm saying? That's when you work it out through the thick and the thin, through the health, through the ups and the downs. You know, when you really have to stick in there. You know, that's really what a Bible marriage is. Amen. When you really are sticking in there through everything, and you're really just giving God your all, and you're serving you're helping your partner, because you know that's what God wants you to do. So that's what I'm going to talk about today, amen. And we're going to actually go in a little bit as I actually going to talk about leading and being a leader for your house. So we're going to go in. As we, I'm going to the Word of God today, we're going to talk about Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. But before we do that, let us pray. Father God, right now we come to you, Lord, just saying thank you, God.
Thank you, Father.
Father God, we thank you for everything that it is that you're doing in this season right now, Father God.
Thank you, God.
Father God, thank you for bringing us through another week, Father God. Father God, thank you for allowing us to once again get on these airways, Father God, and talk to your people and bless your people right
Amen.
Now, Father God. Father God, right now, Lord, we just ask that you have your way, God. Father God, decrease me and decrease Mary right now, Father God, so then that way you can have the increase inside of us right now, Father God.
Amen.
Father God, use us, Father God. Use our voices, use our words, use everything that we're doing right now, Father God, as a vessel unto you right now, Father God.
Okay.
Father God, if it's not your words that come out of my mouth, Father God, I ask that I don't even speak them right now, Father God. Father God, for right now, Father God, I want your people to be healed right now, for your people to be touched right now, for your people to be delivered right now, Father God. There's somebody listening who's really going through some things, and they really is at the point of thinking about giving up right now, Father God.
Okay.
Father God, use me to be able to minister to your people right now, Father God. Father God, show them the way, Father God, and show them how to do things your way right now, Father God. Father God, we love you, Lord. We thank you, God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible verse we're going to talk about today is that's going to say Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, where it says, "And this 15 evil unto you to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of which the Amorites in whose land we dwell. But yet as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord."
Amen.
I really wanted to really dive into that right there, amen, because that's a powerful verse in itself, especially the last part, that last statement. That's really more like a declaration, right? It's saying, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, one thing I want to do is I want to talk to a lot of our fellas out there who's listening in right now, because this right here is really something that we have to do as men. We have to take charge, right? We as men always think about being the leader and being the head, and we're leading, and you got to follow me, amen? But if we're not leading them the godly way, then which way are we really leading? We wonder why it is that our women have a hard time following men a lot of times, but it's because a lot of times we're trying to lead, but we're not trying to lead the way God wants us to lead, right? But if we lead our house in the way God wants us to lead, then we understand that there's an importance, right, in setting the tone of your household. There's an importance in saying in your household, for me in this house, we're going to serve the Lord, which pretty much states right there that, hey, if you're going to be in this house with me, if you're going to be in this relationship with me,
yes,
if you're going to be a
standard.
Part of me.
Yes, standard. Yes. Woo, go ahead, baby.
Then what we're saying is we're going to serve the Lord. And that's and then the thing about that is there can't be no if, ands, or buts about it. Amen. You can't have no we might serve the Lord sometimes and everything like that. No, it's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You tell me what it is you want to do. Amen. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If you're going to be in this house, amen, if you're going to be a part of this house, if you're going to be a part of this family, then you have to understand that we're going to serve the Lord. Now, here's the thing about that, though, and being a man and saying we're going to serve the Lord, you can't say we're going to serve the Lord and then live a life that's not pleasing unto God. You can't say you're going to serve the Lord and then every time you get a chance, you're cussing your wife out. You know what I'm saying? You can't say you're going to serve the Lord, but then you're going out and you're creeping and you're sneaking. You get what I'm saying? If you say that you're going to serve the Lord, you really got to show that leadership and show what it is to be a godly example.
Amen.
But another thing, too, is that you got to learn how to pray over your house. I remember when when me and Mary first got together, the main thing we always did and the main thing I've always established was prayer in our home. And I remember it was sometimes that we was praying so loud and praying so much that sometimes her roommate would come and knock on the door crying and in tears because she was moved by the prayer that she heard through the other side of the wall. But that's because we learned the power of prayer.
Amen.
But the reason we was able to learn the power of prayer is because we got to the point where when things were going wrong and when things started happening, we learned how to stop what's going on at that moment and give it to God.
Amen.
Amen. It was times when we was in the midst of arguing, and I would say, you know what, baby? Sit down. We're about to pray.
Uh-huh.
And right then in the midst of that argument, all of a sudden, we're not yelling at each other no more. We're not sitting up here trying to think what curse words we can say to each other next, but we actually are praying, and then we're allowing God to move. And then at that point, you know, you realize the healing and the power of God. for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It's really a powerful thing in itself, but it's really letting people know, too, who's outside of your home. Hey, I don't care about what it is that you do.
Amen.
Okay? Whatever God you choose to serve, that's really on you. If you choose to go and serve another God, that's on you. But guess what? For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. And the thing is, you gotta people respect that about you at that point. You know what I'm saying? They respect that your house is a Christian household. They respect that your house is going to be a house of, it's going to be that kind of house where you're going to serve the Lord. No matter what religion they are, they're going to still respect your religion.
Amen.
And they're going to respect you for what you're doing because they know they cannot come into your household with anything other than that respect for the Lord. And that's the thing. I mean, it has been funny to me being with Mary because she's so open and she talks to so many people. And it's been people who's been Muslim in our home. There's been people who has been atheist in our home. It's been people who's been on the battlefield of serving Christ and serving the world in our home. It's been so many different types of people in our home. But to everybody who comes through, we show them that same love, and we show them the same compassion.
Amen.
We haven't judged anybody. We haven't said to anybody, oh, you're an atheist, you can't come in my home, or anything like that. We don't do that. We show people the same love and the same compassion in which
Christ will show.
Exactly.
Amen.
In which Christ will show. And that's the thing that we really need to do as people. We really need to be able to, when it comes to people of other religion and everything, it's not about going back and forth with them. And I told somebody the other day, I said, look, I could read you, I could quote the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you know, but at the end of the day, it's about the love.
Amen.
That I show. I think they said they would know we are Christians by love. And that's the thing about it. If your love shows the, you know, the, that passion for Christ.
Amen.
And then you can then understand how it is to, you can then lead people unto Christ, right? Because they're going to see that love in you. And they're going to say, you know, they're going, something about them is going to want that love. Something about them is going to want that peace. Something about them is going to want that joy that you have. And that's all it is to it. You really just gotta exemplify love all the time. But especially when you're in your household should always be your place of peace.
Amen.
Your household should always be your place of comfort. Your household should always be a place of serenity. When your household is in chaos, everything around you is in chaos. There is nothing worse than that feeling of not wanting to go home.
Talk about it.
There's nothing worse than that feeling of not even wanting to walk through your doors or walk into the doors of your own home. There's nothing worse than that feeling of your home not being your kingdom. You know, no matter how big or how small your home is, your home should be your kingdom where you can come through, light candles, sit in the bathtub, and with no music, no sound, no anything, just relax and be at peace. When you have been battling the world for however long you've been out there at the end of the day, and you've been coming across all these different spirits and all these different personalities and all these different people who've been trying to inflict their negative energy upon you, when you come into your house, you should be able to be relaxed and be at one. Your house should be where you're able to pray the most.
Amen.
Right? Your house should be where you're able to really seek God the most. Your house should be where God is able to talk back to you. Right? Where you can really hear the voice of God. And you can really take time out and really understand exactly what God is telling you in that moment. Your house has to be that. But it's for us as men to really take the charge and really set that example in our household. We talk about leading, but the thing is, where are we leading them to? Where are we leading to? And then it says that it gives us a charge as men, because the Bible says that for husbands to love your wife as Christ loves the church. And when you really think about loving your wife as Christ loves the church, I don't know if you know about the kind of love that Christ has for the church, but the love that Christ has for the church is that unconditional love. That no matter what you do, I'm going to still love you anyhow. You know that I know you did wrong. I know you betrayed. I know you sinned. You know, but it's not going to change the love that I have for you. You know what I'm saying? And it might be hard sometimes, because sometimes we get in our flesh, amen. And sometimes we get in our flesh and our flesh starts moving. All of a sudden, that love, that Christ loved the church, that unconditional love, has so many conditions on it, right? I love you, but why you ain't picked this up off the floor?
Uh-huh.
I love you, but why you ain't cooked that dinner like I told you to? You know what I'm saying? Like, I would have loved you more if you would have cooked that dinner.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's so many conditions to it, right? But when we say, I'm going to love you like Christ loves the church, it's saying, hey, no matter what, you know what I'm saying? I might be upset with you at the moment, but guess what? I still love you. I still love you anyhow. And that's what we're saying in this part, is that we have to set that tone. We have to set that example. We have to be leaders. Amen. Going into when me and Mary first got in together, going into the relationship, I told her, I said, I love you and I want to be with you, but we can't be together if you're not going to go to church with me. And she turned back to me and said,
I can speak for myself. No, when we got together, I did not want to go to church at all. I was more like, I talked to God, you know, Jesus is my homeboy, and we're rocking like that. And I pray, and I feel like that's all that's necessary. But he did say that how important it was for us to fellowship together and actually find a church home for myself, him, and our two sons. So we went to several different churches here in San Antonio, and we finally found a church home. But the way that he approached me with it, number one, showed me how different he was from anyone else that I had been with, and also it showed me how important God and Jesus was in his life, which was, well, still is, like, the most attractive thing ever in life, because you have somebody to actually care about your soul and care about you even in the afterlife. That's the most ride or die thing I ever seen in my life. So the barter was, I told him that we could go once a month. Was it once a month, Dave?
Every other week.
Yes. Okay, so every other Sunday, I said, we can go to church every other Sunday. And then, so he was like, okay, so we'll try that out. But every other Sunday ended up being every Sunday anyway, because we kept trying to find a church that we actually wanted to return to. And then every other Sunday turned into every Sunday, and then into every Wednesday and every Sunday, because we go to Bible study and then we go to church. And then that just came into reading my word more and seeing, why is this man more in love with God than what I've been? And I know I love God. So getting into my word and actually learning the word for myself, seeing exactly where my passion for Christ comes from, getting to know myself and growing into what God has for me. And all of that came from just going to church and actually fellowshipping and actually getting into the word and praying with my partner, because it's when two or more are gathered, right, baby?
Amen.
Two or more are gathered. And anything that we were going through, because when we got together, I had my things and he had his things. So together, when we unpacked all of our things, we decided, hey, only God's going to be able to help us. And we prayed together, and from there, our relationship, that was our foundation, and that's what we built our relationship off of, which is the sturdiest ground that you could ever build anything off of.
Amen. So next, I think this will kind of fall in line with what we're talking about, I want to hear this from his poet. It's called A Woman's Truth. So we're going to go ahead and play that now.
Satan lied to me. He told me I was too fat. But God said, even my flowers are different. I made you like that. Satan lied to me. He told me I was ugly, but God said his creations are peculiar, and to him I am beauty. Satan lied to me. He said I was a loser and just dumb, but God said through me you are victorious, child, you've already won. Satan lied to me. He told me my voice sounded like a man, but God said your voice is essential to your purpose. It's part of my plan. There was a time I was having a serious identity crisis. Because of all the lies, I had become quite indecisive. What lies were you told about yourself? What fallacy has tried to rob you of your celestial wealth? What falsehood has the enemy tried to make you take ownership to? What painful blow tried to take God's light from you? What soul-shattering experience tried to end your life? What man made you feel unfit to be someone's wife? We've all been told lies by the enemy. Her, you, she, and me. For every lie you were told from year to year, for every time you cried one too many salty tears, God has a truth that proves to be the exact opposite to every perjury committed by the number one counterfeit. How many of you don't even know who you are? Trying to reach your identity, but it seems so very far. Or do you see blurred images of who you were made to be, but you are appalled by the circumstance of your reality? I have news for every woman in this room today. There has been a list of lies Satan has formulated to stand in your way. But in spite of all the lies Satan has told, understand when the Most High made you, baby, he broke the mold. God said you are his chosen vessel. Indeed, it's true. Yet we have so many princesses standing in need of a breakthrough. Because the reflection they see in the mirror is weighed down by so many lies. Well, this is your moment of truth. And if you haven't already, it's time to rise. I need you to understand our Heavenly Father does not make trash, and your worth is far greater than any amount of cash. You are his child, the one and the only, no other in creation. You can search high and low from nation to nation. You just won't find anyone who is 100% exact. Listen to me well, because this is certainly a fact. You are a woman of God who has endured many a test. But sister girl, I need you to understand you are blessed. You are the personification of his glory and deeply loved. You were chosen long ago by our Heavenly Father above. It's time to get real with God, because he's always been real with you. There is an anointed reality that every woman either has or needs to come to. Self-help books, yoga, or paying someone to fix your life just won't do it. I promise all you ever need is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Get in your prayer closet, lay on your face, and spend time worshiping our Lord and Savior. It's time to let it sink in, sis. You are of a royal priesthood covered in favor. And for my sisters who know who you are, don't hold on to your truth. Please tell someone about it. Be the Naomi that teaches and nurtures Ruth. Don't commit the sin of silence and hold back on the glory of God of your life. Tell your sister, daughter, cousin how God came and freed you from your stripe. Tell of your ratchet days and how you never thought you would make it out. Give your real testimony. I'm talking about the ones that make the saints shout. I'm talking about the one that had you trapped in sin. I'm talking about the one that kept you so long from letting God all the way in. It's time to be real with our sisters sitting on the buses or in them pews. Let them know you wasn't born with them hats on or them church shoes. Let them know how God himself turned it all around. Like the woman at the well who met Jesus and was no longer bound. I tell you, there is an overflow of greatness that flows in us. I say this without a doubt. Yet the activation is the word of God. His two-edged sword will always work it out. And if you don't like to read, or you find yourself falling asleep by the third verse, then when you pray about God's word, ask him to increase your hunger and your thirst. I promise it's God's perfect will, and he will surely grant your request. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you will find. Knock. Well, y'all know the rest. Years ago, I asked God for an increase, and surely it was on the way. Because now my spirit yearns for the word of God every single day. We are here, one for another, in representation of God's kingdom on earth. We are ordained to be his daughters before the day of our birth. Sisters, let's stand on the rock that has always been called Jesus. We are the apples of God's eye. I promise you, he sees us. We are blessed women of God. He is the superhero who came to save our life. So ask him to order your steps and give yourself back to him as a holy sacrifice.
Amen. That was powerful. That was awesome.
Amen. Amen. And also, while listening to that, too, she talked about how the devil lied to her, right? The devil said all these things, you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you're ugly, and you're fat, and all of these different things. Amen. That's another thing that I wanted to get into as well. Fellas, we cannot lead our women if we're not building our women up.
Amen.
We have to build up our women. We have to let them know that they are queens. We have to let them know that they are beautiful. We have to let them know that they are one of a kind. You know, we have to really encourage our women because for so long, and I mean, I know women have it very hard, harder than men a lot of times, because everything is judged on looks for women, right? You got the models in the magazine, and you got the girls with the Coke shake bottle, and you got so many people who are aspiring to be that sometimes women have it hard because, you know, they may not fit that profile, right?
Okay.
They may not be that model that you see in the magazine, right? But oftentimes you have to, you know what I'm saying, say, look, you're beautiful than that woman in the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I tell my wife all the time just how beautiful she is because, I mean, for one, she's beautiful. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, let's be real, fellas. Nobody should be able to tell your wife that she's beautiful more than you tell your wife that she's beautiful.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody should be able to impart that in her mind more than you impart that into her mind. You know what I'm saying? I refuse to let her go out here and hear some other man tell her that she's beautiful and get excited by that because I'm going to tell her that she's beautiful every time I get a chance to. But the thing about it is saying that you're beautiful, we also have to treat them as such, right? We have to treat our women like they're beautiful. You know what I'm saying? We have to cater to them sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Wine and dine them a little bit. You know, not just because, but just because.
Just because.
Just because. Just because I love you. Just because it's Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
Right? It don't have to be a special occasion or a birthday or anything like that. But just because I thought about you. And that means a lot. You know, I love it more when I get to give my woman a gift and see her open it and smile and everything. That's my heart more joy than receiving the gift myself.
He's telling the truth.
Because, I mean, it's like it's me seeing the work. You know what I'm saying?
It
when you
paid off.
That work. Then you see that work paid off. You're like, yeah. You know, so it's like seeing the work. Amen. That's the thing about relationships that we don't understand a lot of times. That, yes, relationships is work. Even when you're in a godly relationship, guess what? You have to work that much harder because we had a godly relationship. And when you and your partner are serving God, the devil's going to try to do anything and everything to break you up.
Everything.
Because the last thing the devil wants is for two people to come together and worship God. The last thing the devil wants is for those two people to come together and for those two people to together unite together and worship the living God. He don't want you to worship God by yourself. But the last thing he wants you to do is unite with somebody else who's about to help you in worshiping God.
Amen.
The last thing the devil wants you to do is to unite with somebody else who's about to help you to lift God up.
Amen.
The last thing the devil wants you to do is to get with somebody who's about to go out there with you and then bring more people to God. That's the last thing the devil wants. So any time the devil get a chance, he's going to try to come in between your mind, come in your relationship, come in her mind sometimes, try to do anything to break you all up,
yeah.
to split you apart,
yeah.
to tell you she's not worth it, to tell her he's not worth it, he's not the one. But you see, the thing is, you have to stand on what God has told you. And if God told you that that's your partner, if God told you that's your spouse, then no matter what's going on, you stand on what God has promised you, and you live on that. And sometimes, I mean, I hear my wife get frustrated with me sometimes. She say, Lord, you told me this is the one.
God, you told me this was my husband, so I'm just going. You know what? My mother-in-law, my kid's grandmother, she would say that all the time, and I never understood why she would say that. And now I know exactly why. Because, God, you told me this is my husband. Therefore, what I'm going to do is I'm going to shut up, okay? Because that's not something I'm used to doing. I'm going to shut up. I'm going to listen. And we're going to get this, and we're going to get through this. Right, babe?
Amen.
And we got to get through it.
Amen. Amen. So let's go back to the scripture here where it says, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I love saying it in itself. I love what it says right there in that scripture. Amen. Because
yeah.
when you think about when he said that scripture, he was talking about all of the people who God led out of the bondage, right? God split the waters and the Red Sea and brought them out of slavery, right? And then these people are still now worshiping God. And it was to the point where Joshua was like, hey, I don't know what it is that you're doing. I don't know what it is that you're trying to do, but guess what? For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And that's the thing. A lot of times we have to stop getting to the point where we're looking at everybody else and looking at what everybody else is doing, right? We're trying to be spectators. We're trying to see if serving the Lord is the cool thing to do right now, right? Is that what we're doing nowadays? Are we serving God nowadays? You know what I'm saying? That's what we're trying to realize. But the thing is, you have to realize that, hey, it don't matter if anybody's serving God with you. I'm going to serve God all by myself
all
because
by myself.
God's being just that good to me.
Amen.
Sometimes when we go to church, amen, and people don't want to praise God, and they're just scared to clap and scared to lift their hands and everything
uh-huh.
like that. And I tell them, I got to praise God all by myself. Amen.
Amen.
If I got to have church all by myself, if I got to sit up here and I got to preach to myself, guess what? I'm going to do it because I'm going to get mine today. I'm going to get what God has for me. I'm going to get the blessings that God has for me. I'm not going to let my blessings be held up because of what it is that you're going through. Guess what? I hope you get there with me. I hope you can understand the level of faith that I have. You can understand the power of the anointing that's over me.
Amen.
I hope that one day you can understand why I carry the joy and the spirit that I have. But until you do, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to still be serving God. It don't matter what it is that you're doing over there, amen. I'm going to be over here, and I'm going to be serving God,
amen.
Now, if you want to come over here, you want to serve God with me, by all means, the doors are open, amen. But until you get to that point where you want to serve God with me, I'm still going to be lifting my hands up, shouting to the top of my lungs, and serving God, because I know that's just how good God's been to me. When you look back over your life, you look back at everything that you've been through, amen.
Amen.
You can really see just how good God's been to you, amen. When I look at everything I've been through over my life, amen, and I look at some of the things I've been through in my lifetime, amen, growing up on the south side of Chicago and some of the things that I've done, but then I realize, amen, that God kept me every step of the way. Now, I know, looking at my life now, I know that I'm not where I ought to be, right? There's still some things that God's working on me with. There's still some things I need to do. There's still some things that God's delivered me to. You know what I'm saying? I'm not perfect by a long shot, as much as I think that I am. But you see, there's still some things that God's working on me with, right? So I may not be where I ought to be. But whoa, when I look back over to the years of 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005, when I look back at some of the things I was doing back then, when I look back into the 90 days, right, when I was up here thinking around and saying I'm going one place and going all the way across town into different clubs, bars, and girls' houses, wherever I thought I could get my, you know, get my fix at that point, right? When I look at my life back then, amen.
Amen.
I say, oh, I'm not where I ought to be. I thank God that I'm not where I used to be.
Amen.
Amen. Although I'm not where I ought to be, I thank God that he brought me. Because you know what? God brought me from a mighty long way. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes we don't even give God, we don't even give the credit, amen, for what's doing there. We think we had something to do with it. But you know what I'm saying? Well, I realized only God could have brought me as far as he did. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't have done it by myself.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? I realize only God could have done it for me. You know what I'm saying? And when you get to that point that you realize only God could have done it for you, guess what? No matter what anybody else is doing. Because for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
God's been too good to me. God's been too faithful to me. God brought me through so much for me not to be here and serve the Lord.
Amen.
God brought you out of bondage. God brought you out of the out of your finances, out of your financial hurt. God brought you through that relationship. God brought you out of that marriage that was holding you down. God has brought you out of that abusive place. And now you want to sit here, you don't want to serve God. But through everything that you've been through, you have to understand that you're only still standing because of the grace of God. Everything the enemy had lined up, he had lined up so it could take you out. The enemy had lined up so it could bring you down. The enemy had lined up so it can take your joy, so it can take your peace, so it can take your very own life, amen. But guess what? You're still standing because God seen otherwise. You're still standing because God's grace is sufficient, because God's word never comes back void, because God said you are more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because God said you are a queen in the royal priesthood, because God said that you are from a chosen generation. You come from kings and queens and put your priesthood. And God said that you are beautiful. You are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
So it don't matter what anybody else wants to do. Amen. It don't matter what it is that your homeboy, your homegirl wants to do. Amen. Sometimes you're going to realize that God is going to bring you out of those relationships, because some of the people that we hold on to dearly the most, we don't even realize are the ones bringing us down.
Amen.
Sometimes we spend so much time trying to hold on to a relationship that's not good for us.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we spend so much time trying to hold on to people who don't mean us the same love that we mean them. Sometimes we think that people are our best friends and really they're working against us.
Amen.
Have you ever seen that friend? Have you ever had that friend where every time something good is going on, they can't even talk with you? You tell them, hey, friend, I just got a new job, baby. Oh, okay. So what you doing today? You going out? They can't even shout with you and praise God with you. You know what I'm saying? You know, they low key hating on you, right?
Well,
I bet you call them up, you tell them, oh, girl, you ain't going to believe the kind of day I had. It was just over. Oh, tell me about it. They love to hear that, right? Any bad news, they want to sit there and they want to talk about it all day long. Then they'll go back and forth with you. Y'all can share bad news and pity parties and stuff together. But when you start talking about something good happening, all of a sudden they don't want to hear that. They change the topic. Right? We had to realize that those aren't really our friends. You know what I'm saying? In the title of the show, we said soaring like eagles. One thing I do like about eagles, because eagles can't soar with all the birds. Amen. Eagles
Amen.
Soar higher than the rest of the birds. Amen. So when you start soaring and you still realize that there's some people who's down there still walking, guess what?
Yep.
And you got to let chicken heads be with chicken lives.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Don't be down in a chicken bin and you live your eagle. So, I mean, that's really... you know, as we get into everything, that's really powerful, right? For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It don't matter what you're going to do. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, right?
Amen.
What do you think about that, babe?
I think the importance of being evenly yoked is not discussed enough. Of course, it's discussed in the Bible, but if you haven't cracked open the Bible or put it on an audiobook, being evenly yoked is so important. And since we are coming into Valentine's Day, I personally, for the women, would like to stress, okay, it is so important to have a godly partner and not just having a partner. You can find a man on the side of the street on the bus stop. That doesn't mean that God wants you to, you know, marry him, okay? You need to find a man that is going to pray for you, that wants to uplift you, who makes you feel like the prettiest little princess ever in the world, that wants to build with you. And coming into, I know everybody for Valentine's, either they love it or they hate it. Some women, you know, they say, oh, well, I don't need a man, I don't want a man, and I don't want to find, you know, but they do. And I think for this holiday, it goes either way for females. So talking directly to my women, I want you to say, even if you do not have a partner right now, make a vision board of your life and where you want it to go and your vision. And also make a list of what you're looking for and be specific in what you're looking for the man of God that's going to come into your life. And know that when you make that prayer, not only is he going to have to be a perfect fit for you, you're going to have to change and be uncomfortable for him, because that's where growth comes from. When you are uncomfortable, you're growing, and that takes change. And that's where most relationships fail, because people don't want to change, and you have to.
Mm-hmm.
So growth in a relationship, having that foundation of God, you're learning yourself as a Christian. You're brand new. The old you died. So now you're getting to know this brand new woman. So you have to give yourself time to grow into your new role, so that you know exactly what you're supposed to do. So stay prayed up, stay covered, the whole armor of God, and talk to your partner. Anything that you're having an issue with, make sure that you all discuss it within your home and keep it within your home. Pray about it. Talk to God about it. And that'll be what you all are doing. And then also peak verses that daily that you would like to read, ladies, that helps you all stay focused on what you're trying to get. Because you have to remember that you have, even though you are in a partnership, you have to remember your past, and you have to remember what you're supposed to be doing for God, so that y'all both can do the work that you all are supposed to be doing together. Because the worst thing that you can do is get into a partnership and you let that partner distract you for what God has for you also. Because God's not going to bless that. Y'all are supposed to both be doing the work that you all are supposed to be doing. It's a partnership. So make sure that you stay focused. And the only way to do that is diving into the Word. You have to pray together. You have to read the Word. You both have to read the Bible. That's just how it has to work. And if you don't have a partner that's willing to do that, or willing to even step into it, to even give it a chance to, I don't think God would bring that for you. What do you think, babe? You've had a partner like that. I mean, you had a partner like that. I've had a partner like that. So I definitely, you know, I guess we both could speak on it, but it's not a good situation, and you waste so much time because you're thinking that the person's going to change, or you'll be able to change them, or you keep praying to God, just change them, because I really like this person. So let me just please change them instead of you just moving on, right? Talk about it, baby. No, yours with the.
You know, it's just one thing about, I guess, being in a relationship where God is not present. When you're in a relationship with God is not present, you know, when I first stepped into ministry, my spiritual mother told me, and I didn't understand it, I wasn't married or even engaged in it. honestly, you know. My mind probably wasn't even there focused on the family just yet. But she told me one thing, and then it stuck with me. She said, your first ministry starts at home. And that's one thing that I had to realize. A first ministry starts at home. And she spoke the truth. She said, you can't be out there praying for people, laying hands on people, and delivering people if your house is in an uproar. You know what I'm saying? If your own house is not together, how is it that you can actually expect to go out and lead a church, lead a flock of people, if there's problems and conflict in your own home? Your first ministry, it starts right there at home. That's why it's so powerful when you say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You can set that tone of the God being in your household from the very jump.
Amen.
And then once that foundation is there, you know, once you build a strong, godly foundation, you build a strong foundation in your home. When it says a family that prays together, stays together, there's so much truth in that, because Mary will tell you that in these couple years we've been together, we've been through things that people who've been together 15 years had already broke up for,
mm-hmm.
right? But
amen.
The thing was, when the ground started shaking, amen, when our relationship just started shaking, we got together, we leaped up, and we started praying, you know
amen.
What I'm saying? And that's the thing about having a prayer warrior in your side, and being able to pray together, being able to come together and pray. And I'm talking about, we'll get the children involved, and we'll get the anointing going out, we'll light up the stage, and we'll go through that whole house to pray if we need to. Because the thing is that no devil or no enemy and no spirit or no demonic force is going to come in and disrupt our home and disrupt our kingdom and disrupt our place of peace.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Especially when you live in San Antonio, you pay $1,200 a month for it.
Not today, Satan. Not
so,
today.
The thing is, you have to really get to a point, amen, when you are standing on the word of God, amen. When I was in, I don't even want to call it a marriage, in that
relationship.
In that relationship I was in, amen, and everything was going wrong, and my household was all in disarray. I realized that I wasn't even going to church like that. I wasn't even desiring to do ministry. I wasn't even in the desire to get before the people of God. Amen. Because I knew that there was so much going wrong with me. I knew that I was going through so much. I knew I was so broken. You know what I'm saying? And I couldn't even... How can I try to fix somebody else when I know that there's problems in my own home, right? And sometimes the thing is, and we don't listen to people, but people see exactly what's going on with you before you can see it in yourself. You know what I'm saying? People see that this person's not yourself. I don't know what's going on in their home. And that's the first thing that somebody will say. I don't know what's going on in their home, right? When you're walking around and your head is down, and you're walking around and your spirit's low, the first thing they say is, I don't know what's going on in their home.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because we know that it has to be something wrong at home. If you're walking outside and you're depressed already,
amen.
It has to be something going wrong at home. If you're walking outside, your head is all low and down. Right? And that's the first thing somebody look at is what's going on at home. But also when you're a preacher, right? And you out here, you preaching, you in the pulpit preaching. The first thing they're doing before they even look at you, they're looking over at your spouse. Because they want to see how she's reacting to the things you're saying, right? They want to see what she's looking like, right? And if your spouse is up there frowning and making faces and everything while you're up there preaching, they're going to be like, oh, man, sorry, that minister ain't right. She ain't feeling what he's saying. You know what I'm saying? And that's the thing about it. You know, like, it's really true when, you know what I'm saying, people are looking at you, you know what I'm saying, and people are looking at your household, people are judging your household by what they see in you. You know what I'm saying? So many people always want to come to our house.
Yes.
And always want to come, hey, can we come to your house? We'll stop by your house. We don't have, we don't mean to have no cable. We may not have no Wi-Fi. We may not have no music going on. But guess what? They're going to feel, hey, we'll come over and chill at your house. Because they know that there's a peace in our house. Why do they know that? Because when they see us, we're smiling. And we're joyous. And we're happy. You know.
And hands up, to the couples who are always fighting and arguing, no one wants to come to your home. That's the truth. No one wants to. You can feel it when you walk in. If you are a godly person, you can already feel the energy. No one wants to be there. So it's best to keep that peace in your home, and you'll be able to tell. Because no one wants to come to a house where everybody's always arguing, there's always a discourse, and it's always confusion. That's the devil's house. No one wants to go there. We need clarity, a house where there's some clarity, it's clear, and I feel welcomed when I come.
You know, it's like, yeah, the thing is, once you, also, when people are in your home, don't let them into any conflict that you're having.
Amen.
Please wait until they leave. The last thing anybody wants to see is for you and your wife to be sitting there arguing right there in front of them. And then don't bring them into it like, what you think about that?
I don't think anything. I think absolutely nothing. I think I want to go home because I only came over here for some spaghetti and some lemonade. I did not come over here to be a referee. My goodness, don't be that couple. Do not be that couple. Just chill. Relax. Pray. Just relax. It's really not, once you really find your partner, it's not supposed to be difficult like that. It's going to be hard because y'all are growing together, but not that type of difficulty. It should never be that type of difficulty where y'all are, oh my goodness, enemies.
Amen. So as we get ready to actually close our show, this has been actually a great show. Amen. And I feel like that we are really able to dive into some things. Thank God for my partner who's here with me and helping me with this.
Amen.
So let's get ready to go ahead and close out in prayer. And then just want to do a quick announcement. But Father God, right now we just thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything that you've done right now, Father God. Father God, thank you for your people right now, Father God. Thank you for being able to set the tone in our household. To serve you, God. And Father God, we want to set that phone in my household right now. But Father God, for me in my house, we're going to serve you.
Amen.
And Father God, if my house ever gets to a point where it's not lining up, we're serving you right now, Father God. Then Father God, we just ask that you come through, Father God, and you fix it right now, Father God. Father God, we realize that you have the power and the authority, Father God, and that all things are powerful for you right now, Father God. So we thank you, Lord. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise, Father God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You all, this has been another My Gospel Show, My Gospel Soul Show. Amen. Where we're breaking the yoke of bondage through the power of the Word of God. And we have the 219 The Talk that's going on Thursdays. So please check us out. There's more shows going out throughout the week. So please be in tune. My Gospel Soul Magazine. We also have My Gospel Soul Magazine, San Antonio. Amen. If you have a business or if you have, and you're an entrepreneur and you want to get your business out there, then we do ask that you go ahead and reach us out. Reach out to us and we can help you with ad space. Amen. And with ad space, it's not even expensive, right? It's not even that much money, but it's helping you to get your vision and your dreams out there, you know? And that's really what it's about. We're trying to, help people to grow. You know, we're not trying to take your money. We're not trying to take your money. Although we do need money now. We're not trying to take your money. So tune in as we do more things. Tune in as we do the show again next Monday.
7 p.m., you guys. We can't wait to talk to you all. We hope you all have an awesome night. Thank you so much for tuning in.
And remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with God, all things are possible. Who cares? God cares.
Amen.